there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number, it's a lot of numbers there, 106 for Thursday, August 16th, 2012. Welcome back. I'm Phil Nickinson, your host of the podcast and the editor of AndroidCentral.com. And we're changing it up a little bit this week, so we're podcasting in the afternoon and not at night, which means a couple things. One, it means I don't have a big bucket of beer next to me. Wait, that's Jerry. It means I've been drinking Capri Sun all afternoon, so I'm kind of wired on that. And if you're joining us for the first time, we do this most Thursday nights. We're doing a little early in the day this week just because. But we do it every week, bring you all the latest and greatest Android news and apps and devices, and sometimes we tell jokes. And with us this week, we have Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Hey, everybody. Minus my bucket of beer.
Minus your bucket of beer. Is it too early for a bucket of beer? Is there a minimum?
No. No, I just, it's off camera.
Oh, okay. And a little more wide awake, we have Alex Dobie from Manchester, England.
Hey, everyone.
What's it like for you?
Yeah, it's, I guess, kind of almost dark out, yeah. So... it's the same, but a little bit earlier.
It's almost dark here, but that's only because we're getting our daily tornadic activity here. I'm looking out the window on the other side. It's about to come down again, so this should be interesting. We got a lot to talk about this week. I was putting the script together. It's like, geez, we got a whole bunch of stuff, and most of it's happened in the past 24, 48 hours, which is a little impressive because I wasn't even around for two-thirds of it. I suppose Android news is allowed to happen even when I'm not here, so I'm knocking stuff off. So let's just get to it. Probably the big one dropped overnight, and this morning, Google Play is finally going to get gift cards, I guess. It's not official yet, so there's that. But a new version of the Google Play Store app has started to push, and Android Police ripped it apart and found a whole bunch of hooks for gift codes, basically, for redeeming codes. And then this morning, we got slip pictures of actual gift cards that were sent to us by somebody. So somebody, thank you. You did a service to your country. And so we've seen them in, $10 and $25 denominations. You think we'll see bigger than that? Maybe we'll see $50 or $100 ones?
I think we might see smaller, not necessarily bigger.
Yeah.
I think
we'll see 50, from 5 to 100.
A bit ridiculous.
One at a time, boys. One at a time.
Lag.
All right, well, yeah, and actually that brings up a good question. So right now we've only seen them for the U.S., right? $10, $25. Alex, do you think we're going to see them done in pounds? Are we going to see other nations? And that's the big question.
You're going to need to have something to spend your pounds on first. So right now we've only got movies and apps over here.
Right.
I think if it ever does come to anywhere outside of the U.S., you're going to have the content there before you do that.
Fair enough. Now, Jerry, I couldn't understand the two of you while you're talking at the same time. So you think we're going to see $5 gift cards or $50 gift cards? You
know, yes, 200? 5 to 100.
Yeah.
That's just, I can feel it.
Yeah.
I suppose you imagine a $100 gift card, that's a lot off your Galaxy Nexus or whatever, isn't it?
Well, and that's the other question. Will you be able to use it for stuff like that? Is it just, what did it, let me look at the... at the picture again, because it, did it say devices on the picture?
It said and more. So
and more.
Yep, come under the more.
Our favorite word, more.
Oh, coming soon, by the way.
I'm more.
We don't know when any of these are coming, actually, because remember, they are unofficial. So Google has not announced anything. I would imagine it's coming. Yeah, I mean, I hate to say coming soon, but I imagine it's coming soon.
Sooner rather than
later. If we're seeing them already reach stores, so...
If they printed them out, they're coming soon.
Yeah,
they're getting them ready for November. I don't think we're going to see them before then.
But they're already, like, I mean, we got them from a store somewhere. So, I mean, that's last that's like last step before I'm able to buy them. I think it's closer to
that changes my whole guess on the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had no idea where we got them. I just figured... somebody in somewhere had one in his hands.
And I don't know. I actually do not know. I don't mind saying I don't know which store we saw these from. I mean, you'd imagine, you know, Best Buy, Target, Walmart, you know, wherever. Right.
Hmm.
Think they're going to be.
I got some phone calls to make.
Yeah, you do. You think it's going to be as widespread? And Renee, you're listening in the background. I mean, iTunes cards are available just everywhere, right?
From the Quickie Mart to the Best Box.
Yes.
Well, Google bought the company that makes and processes all these gift cards
about
a year ago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like if you buy a Farmville gift card, mm-hmm. Google owns that company now.
Huh.
Yeah, we wrote something about it. Now I'm going to have to find it. You all continue. Don't mind my keyboard. I'll type softly.
This is a big deal, and it's a big deal for a couple reasons. One, I'm about to say something I'm not sure about, so let me phrase it in the form of a question. Is this going to open it up for developers to give away promo codes?
I think it's going to open it up for anyone to give away promo codes. Yeah. If you want to pay the money to get the code, then you get the code. Yeah. It's as simple as that, I think.
Sounds right to me, I guess. I haven't told totally
Yeah, I mean, we could give away a code if we wanted to.
Well, hopefully we can. No, yeah, but I mean, without buying cards, like, will you know, developers be able to send out?
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, I don't see why you wouldn't be able to do that. I don't see why Google, you know, the king of all internet companies, would require you to buy a piece of card to do that.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Trying to think. I mean, Renee, let's pull you back in here again because you're the closest thing we have to a history on this. So iOS, you know, iTunes didn't always have promo codes. How did that change the face of Apple, you know, products at that point?
I mean, it was not a smooth operation. At first there was nothing, and then you could give out a limited amount of promo codes only in the US. They were US only, and I believe they were limited to 50 per build of the application, mm-hmm. Because Apple didn't want developers to just use them as a way to surreptitiously sell outside of the App Store. They wanted it to be used for promotional considerations. So if you updated the app, you got 50 codes. Later it became international so that you could give them to developers or marketers or press anywhere in the world. But it's still 50 per app. So it's not perfect, but it's something for developers.
We
do get gift cards, though, too. I mean, if they run out, they will actually go buy gift cards for their own apps.
Huh. Now, I take it back because actually WebOS had promo codes for a long time as well. So I guess it wasn't just iOS. Maybe that's what doomed WebOS. It was the promo codes. We're done. That's it. No, this is a big deal. It's a very exciting deal because now I can buy stuff for, I don't know, nobody in my family because they all use Apple stuff. I'm going to go buy stuff for somebody else. Somebody I like, not my family. No, I'll buy stuff for my parents. There I go. No, so, I mean, I can, you know, send music to my parents and apps to my parents, and it's a big deal.
It's good, Phil, because if you want to buy Little Timmy a present, like an actual physical present, and you go to the store now, your choice is iTunes, you know, maybe Amazon, maybe Kroger's or something. Now you can choose to buy them a Google gift card.
Right.
Russell Holly from Geek.com was saying on Google Plus today that actually for parents this makes a huge difference because if you want to give your kids, say, a Nexus 7, without tying your Google account to it, this is a great way to do that.
Is that... maybe. I'm not sure about that.
Apple has allowances, too. Like, Phil could go in and say, I want my daughter every month $50. And that's something good thing for parents to have as well.
That's a good idea. Huh. Well, this is going to be interesting. And hopefully it'll happen. I think it's going to happen next week. I'm going on record. I'm going to say next week. So when it doesn't happen, blame me.
It'll be next week until I can find what I was looking for. So I'm done.
Okay.
But I know we did it, and it's somewhere. I'm going to have to route it up later.
Sure. Cool. So, I mean, it's a simple thing, but it's a big thing, I think. So I'm very, very much looking forward to that. The other big thing from this week, so I spent the past 24 hours in New York City at the Samsung Galaxy Note 10.1 event. It's a tablet that actually Alex and I first saw at a Mobile World Congress in February in Barcelona, but it's been changed up a lot. Right? So they redid a lot of the software. The hardware is not too different, I don't believe. Andrew Vaca is doing our review on it, and he has already done a first look. He sat down with it last week. But my just, you know, 5-minute view is like, all right, it's a tablet with some really cool Samsung-y stuff on it. I can't handle the resolution anymore. I need.
It doesn't have Jelly Bean.
And it doesn't have Jelly Bean yet. I mean, it will, but the question is when. But for me, it was the DPI. I know it's got 2 gigs of RAM in it, but just the animations weren't smooth. Some of the I mean, and this was
even.
I'm gonna go
compared to the S.
I'm probably gonna go buy one and play with it some more. I mean, this is one at an event, so I understand things can happen. But the one we looked at was not as smooth as I expected. The DPI makes a big difference, right? I mean, I've got a Nexus 7 sitting here, and I bounce back and forth between the Nexus 7 and a Retina iPad, and it makes a big difference, you know, going back to something a lot less like that. So, I mean, and for me, for a top-shelf tablet, which is what this should be, right? You know, that's a big deal. Now, that's saying, you know, the Wacom, you know, S Pen is just awesome. And how Samsung has incorporated that, really, really good, right? The software side is excellent. You know, TouchWiz, I can take it or leave it on a tablet, I guess. I think Samsung's done a pretty good job with it. But the interaction of the S Pen with the apps and the device is just have done a really, really good job. You remember much about it, Alex, from February?
Kind of. I didn't spend a huge amount of time with it in Barcelona, but you know, the overall user experience doesn't seem to have changed that much. Okay, it's a new version of TouchWiz. Right. You've got somewhere to actually store the pen now, which is good. But I think, yeah, like you were saying, it's a top shelf product, but not quite. It's something they want to sell as a top shelf product, but you're missing the extra resolution. You've got TouchWiz on there, which you never really work particularly well on tablets. So there are a few things missing. I think it's going to take another revision of the whole Samsung tablet thing to get to where this sort of product needs to be.
They're getting there, and I think they're making good strides. It's not to say it's a bad product, because I don't think it is. Photoshop Touch comes preloaded, so that saves you $10. And Photoshop Touch on this sort of thing is really, really interesting. I wish I was more of a designer type who could actually get some use out of it. I mean, I struggle enough with Photoshop on a desktop. And, you know, and we use it for different things. I think if you have these specific needs for it, it can be really, really interesting. They brought a Baz Luhrmann. I assume everybody who listens to this podcast knows who Baz. No? Okay. Big time, you know, kind of artsy director. He did, you know, Romeo and Juliet back in the day with DiCaprio and what's her name, right? I think he did La Boheme on Broadway for a while. I think I saw that one. I don't remember. He's doing the Great Gatsby right now with Leo. So he, you know, talked about that a little bit. So, and they show him, you know, here's how I'm doing things with the S Pen. And it was really funny. At one point he says, and here's how I'm using my Galaxy Note 10.1 with S Pen. Like, it was almost like they had somebody in his ear telling him to say the entire name of the product. And just like, ooh, really? And all of us journalists were seeing, this is a, you know, press event. We're all kind of sitting there like, we know exactly what just happened. Yeah. So they had him, and they had Zach Posen, who's apparently a big fashion guy, and I'm obviously not a really into fashion. Jerry is. I'm not.
Oh, yeah. Me and the Jaclyn Smith collection go way back.
So, you know, it makes a little more sense for those guys. You know, it shows them drawing, you know, sketches and stuff like that. And I get that. But, again, those are pretty acute, you know, needs. Those are a very directed focus. Like, try to think about how I could use this stuff in my daily life. And just, I'm not sure.
It does become a lot more feasible to do all this drawing stuff on with the 10.1-inch screen, though. They showed a lot of this drawing stuff on the original Note back in October, whenever it was last year. And you could see potential, but you're still limited by the 5-inch screen. With this big tablet display, it becomes a lot more realistic to be able to do a lot of your design work on this thing.
Yep. So we'll see. I mean, it's still, what, $500 for the 16?
Yeah, it's more in the... It's ridiculously expensive in the UK, as is always the case.
And I mean, I guess that's not unreasonable for a 10-inch tablet, but I'm sitting here, you know, with a $200 7-inch tablet that I use every day now, and I'm gonna have a hard time paying too much more than that. And this is a conversation Renee and I have been having over the past week over the iPad mini, or whatever the hell it ends up being called. But I'm having a real hard time justifying, you know, $500-$600 for a tablet now when I've got a 7-inch $200 tablet sitting right here. Is that just a non-starter for you, Jerry, the price?
No. I can't see paying a premium for a device that doesn't have current software on it. Sorry. I've used Jelly Bean. I would not want to go back to ice cream sandwich unless I absolutely had to. And I don't have to because I can buy two Nexus 7s for the cost of one Galaxy Tab 10.1.
Two and a half.
I guess that kind of leads into another thing we've got on our list here, but I think for TouchWiz devices, Jelly Bean isn't going to make a big difference. I guarantee you the Note 10.1 will be almost identical on Jelly Bean as it is on Ice Cream Sandwich.
Yeah. One thing they are gonna have multiple styles of S Pens, so that's kind of cool.
Mm.
But still, I mean, you're not changing the function of them, with the different pens. It's just a lot of money. And the early, I think they gave out a couple of review units already, and we've got ours now. Actually, here's the bigger story, I think, and this is the big deal. I'm already walking this back in my head. So they initially announced this thing in February, right? And then we have the second event actually launching it, and then it's available the next day. That's kind of nobody has done that in Android yet, right? Has anybody else?
Mm.
Well, see, again, I'm kind of walking it back. I mean, we've had individual device releases.
They've all been sort of mid-rangey stuff that we'll get a press release and they'll say you can buy it tomorrow.
Well, yeah, like the Droid 3 will leak for 6 months and then finally Verizon announces it.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, you can go buy it tomorrow or you can buy it today. And that's so. All right, maybe I'm getting off on that a little too much of a tangent.
And the really weird thing is some retailers actually got stock 2 weeks before this,
right?
Putting it up for sale. So obviously it's been done for a while. They were just, I guess, biding their time.
What are you thinking, Jerry?
No, I don't think you're wrong, Phil, because I get the same impression that I know we've seen it before. The Droid 3 was a great example. Mm-hmm. Just because we know it doesn't mean it's official, and then here it's official, you can buy it tomorrow. But I get the feeling that Samsung, with the last few devices, have been, here it is, and guess what? You can buy it right away.
Right.
So they're doing something differently than they used to do, or we wouldn't be catching it, feeling it that way.
How crazy would it be if in 2 weeks they did the same thing with the Galaxy Note 2?
It's the way they should be doing it. It's people like us are supposed to try to find rumors and leaks and post about them, but.
And look, we've had a couple of fake things for the Note 2 already, but we know nothing about that still. That they're obviously doing a really good job of keeping these things secret.
Yeah, I had an interesting discussion with somebody at Samsung about that the other night, and we've talked to them about it before, all the secrecy that went into it, and I learned that a couple of the leaks that came out back for the Galaxy S3 were actually just prototypes, which goes back to the HTC thing that I went to up in Seattle, where we actually got to see the prototype steps, and so now I just question everything. When we see a leaked something, I'm like, I have no idea what that is. It could well just be a prototype device that... it's just part of the process, and I do not know anymore. So I question the hell out of any leaked device now, which, kind of makes things a little less fun, unfortunately. But, they're doing interesting things, give them that. Yeah, so that's the Note 10.1. I want to be a little more excited about it. We're giving one away. That makes me excited. I like giving away expensive stuff. So, we're going to go out and buy one and give it away. So that'll be fun. And I'll tell you what, I've got an extra S Pen here. We'll throw that in as well, just because. Anything else on the Note 10.1?
I don't want to get away from this extra S Pen. So, you lost it on a review unit and you just found it the other day?
No.
Did you steal it from New York?
Yeah, they sent everybody home with one, so I've got it. No, and you remember what happened. I reviewed the AT&T Note, and they gave us not unlike this, right? So I think it was called the S Pen holder that the little stylus fits into, and it makes it look and feel like a real pen, right? And I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It felt really, really nice. Felt really good. My only problem with it was there's no place to put it. Right, because it doesn't fit into the device. I said, you're going to lose this thing. And damned if I didn't lose it. It might still be here somewhere in my room. I have no idea where it went, so I had to go out and buy another one to send it back with the review units. So we'll give away this the BTS pin. Is that a Bluetooth one? Yeah, it is. It's a Bluetooth pin.
British Turbo Steel?
BTS. Yeah. Oh, actually, this is the one that you talk to. So, you know, so you hold it up, and it works as a Bluetooth headset, which, okay.
Fine. Did Moneypenny give you that?
That's all I have to say about that. Man, we're kind of blown through everything.
We've got a bunch of little stories.
Yeah, let's just keep talking Samsung then and let Alex talk about, what do you have, the Note? Or no, the GS3.
Sorry, say again?
The Galaxy S3 that you've been playing with today.
Yeah, it's a little bit anticlimactic. We've got a leak that came out this morning of Android 4.1 on the S3. So it's, as you'd expect for a lot of early leaks, still a little bit janky. There's still stuff that doesn't work. NFC is pretty much completely broken. Mm-hmm. But it's Jelly Bean. It's on the S3. It's it still looks like a Galaxy S3. It's still running TouchWiz, and 90% of everything you see on there is going to be TouchWiz. You do get the redesigned notification pull down. That's very nice. Everything's in there. You can expand all kinds of different notifications. That's really cool. besides the few features that you get like Google Now, it's nothing really has changed in TouchWiz. It's the same thing as we always get with a leading device that has a skin on it. Your OS gets updated, it's still the skin that you see. So I think maybe a few people are going to be underwhelmed when they get this, when the official version rolls out. But at the same time, it's impressive that, so this build was dated, I think, 31st of July. So that's 2 weeks after the code drops. Samsung already has working builds, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah. It's coming. I mean, it's just all a matter of when.
Mm.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. I was going to say, as long as Google Now and the new notification things are in there, I'd be satisfied. That's the two Google, things Google I had now. To have.
Google Now is kind of interesting because what you do to get to it now is, because obviously you've got physical buttons and capacitive buttons.
Right,
you can't, but just the way you can the GeneX. The way you get to it is you hold down the home button to bring up the task switching thing. At the bottom, you have a Google Now button that you press next to the task manager button. So you can still get to it without going back to the launcher. It's still a little bit convoluted to do, but at least there's a shortcut there, and at least Samsung recognizes it's an important part of Jelly Bean.
Yeah, that just goes back to my hate of the home button.
Yeah, and it's a limitation of the hardware. They're doing the best they can with what the decision they made last year when they were designing this thing, but what can you do?
I think I'm finally going to go buy one tomorrow.
So yeah, if you're not going to wait for the Note.
I was going to wait for the unlockable Verizon one, but now that you can overwrite the bootloader, there's just kind of...
What do you mean for your Verizon?
Don't do it, Phil.
Yeah?
Do the right thing and buy the dev model.
I'm waiting. Support that decision. I'm waiting.
I know, but support that decision or they'll take that kind of choice away from us in the future. But
if we can just unlock stuff anyway, do we need that?
Well, I think Jerry's right.
Jerry's right in principle, but...
But what?
I like the way that sounded.
But what?
Do we need it? No. But
well, you save yourself $300 by getting the one that you can just break into.
Yeah. No, Jerry's right. I need to wait. He's right.
Well, I mean, if nobody buys it, Samsung won't ever do it again.
Right.
And it's very important that – I don't think people have really thought that through, just how important it is that Samsung is willing to step up and create a separate SKU. I'm sure it's the same device.
Or that
– A separate
– Or that Verizon is letting them, because that's the other side of that.
That deserves our support.
Both of those in themselves are kind of strange that there would be a separate – Right. A separate SKU for it, and that Samsung would be willing to go to bat for the developer community in that way.
Yeah.
Somebody in the chat said, why is it important if we can just use an exploit? Because what if you don't get lucky next time and nobody leaks you the files you need and they don't make an unlocked one? Then you just sit there and you look at it and tears well in your eyes.
I suppose the important thing to know with the exploits is that this isn't just someone being clever and exploiting it. This is something being leaked.
Oh, right, yeah. Nobody cracked that AES encryption on that thing. It's impossible.
Yeah. No, somebody got the got an unlockable bootloader, right? Or the engineering ones is what you see a lot of time.
Yeah.
Lou in the chat room asks, every time I hear Phil talk about how much he hates the home button, he says he's going to buy one. I don't understand. Such is my life, sir. I don't have an explanation for it either. I have the unlucky position where I have to, you know, have a lot of this stuff around for my job. So I like to rest the phone a lot. I do. Right. I think the display is really good. It's really fast. You know, the software I can either use or not use. I can put something else on top of it if I want to. You know, the home button's just a part of it. And again, we've talked about this before. I disagree with the reasoning behind it. You know, I disagree with the design. Does it kill the device for me? No. You know, now that said, I think if I were spending my own money on it, my answer might be a little different. But, you know, that's why we have to, and that's one of the great things about this. That's why we have choice. That's why I can go buy an HTC phone, or I can buy a Galaxy Nexus. And, you know, I walked into the Samsung event yesterday, you know, carrying both. So it's a big deal, but for me personally, that's why. Just because I have this weird job where I have to have all this stuff. So I love all my children equally, more or less. Sort of. I feel like we should talk about the gift cards more, but there's not a lot more to say. I keep seeing them up there in the script. It's like, damn, this is a big deal. What about Pinterest for Android? That's a big deal. So I'm not sure how much of a big deal it is for the people listening to this podcast. I hate to say it's a woman thing, because it's really not.
It's a woman.
Look, I know guys who use Pinterest. you know, not as many. But you know, for anybody who uses Pinterest, this is a big deal. Put it that way. It's about time.
It's Instagram coming to Android. It's these big name iOS apps,
right?
You know, getting this extra audience to tap into.
I'm a little surprised it was out already, because when I talked to them back at Google I/O, they made it sound like, you know, fall toward winter possible.
Trying to remember when they said. I'm sure they were saying it was months.
Yeah. No, and the guy's like,
I was standing right next to you talking to
him. Yeah, and the developer's like, honestly, I have no idea when it's coming out, because we're not, you know, I don't even know what it's going to look like. So, in fact, I need to play with it.
6 weeks come to mind? Has it been 6 weeks since I/O?
Oh, yeah.
About that.
It's been more than that.
So maybe that's what he said.
Yeah. It just felt like it was going to be longer. So that's a big deal. Go download that if you haven't yet. Instagram 3.0, so I was playing with that, and Instagram needs to get some serious kudos for this update. So the big thing is, I mean, everything's faster, whatever, but they've really increased the geotagging, right? So when I launch it up for the first time after upgrading, it takes a look at all your pictures and looks at the locations that are assigned to them. It says, all right, you have, here's a group of pictures from when you're in New York, here's a group from San Francisco, here's a group from Pensacola, here's a group from, it found London, I don't think it found any from Spain. Might not have had it when we were in Spain. I don't remember. So, you know, it says, all right, do you want to take these images and actually apply the location to them so people can see them on this map? And it said, sure. It says, all right, and anything you didn't agree to, we're just going to strip all that information off of it. So there's just no way I can get on there. And now I can see them on a map. And other people can see on the map, you know, where I've been with these pictures. And it kind of gives them more context, which I think is really nice and really interesting. And I think they did a really good job of it. Yes,
right. I'm just looking at mine here, and it's really weird because I've you know, reset this GeneX as I got back. So I've got three in San Francisco and one in Manchester, which is kind of
weird. No, it's a good update, I think. It brings context to pictures, and it kind of sticks them in galleries, which is something Instagram has never had, right? Instagram has always just been this feed of pictures. This
big stream, yeah.
Which is interesting in itself, but I think so is, you know, giving things context.
It always was a bit disorganized by design, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it's not to say it's perfect, but it's good. It's a really, really good update, I think. And there are little design things I'm seeing here and there that can be improved on, but, you know, things can always be improved on. So there's Instagram. Sure. You guys want to talk Flash for a minute?
Yeah.
I kind of don't.
Sure.
Because Flash is dead.
Well,
Flash is dead. We've known it was going to be dead. Adobe said it was going to die. It's dying. We, you know, now they've made it unavailable for download, except it is from Adobe.
I was rereading this, and it's the way they're doing it is really strange. It's still on there, and if you have a device that's shipped with Flash, you'll be able to download Flash on it.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is if you have something that didn't come with Flash or something that is running Jelly Bean, like this S3 with Jelly Bean, you're not going to be able to update it. So even if you buy a phone that's a new phone tomorrow that isn't certified for Flash, that's running either ICS or Gingerbread or Jelly Bean or whatever, you're not going to just be able to go to the market and download it. And that is the big thing that's happened this week.
But you can still download it from Adobe.
Yeah. Well, kind of. You can download it from the one from Adobe doesn't work with Jelly Bean.
Okay.
The one on the site.
Well, I get that.
So,
but, and in fact, Paul O'Brien just made a little app and stuck it in the Play Store that will go and download it from Adobe's site for you, so you don't have to go find it, which was a brilliant idea. But it is as good as it is and as cool as it is that he just made it easy for everybody. Part of me is like, no, stop! You're enabling.
Stop using Flash.
Stop using Flash. I understand there's going to be
Then let's get some developers to change the internet.
I know.
Away from, you know, me, the ability to view most of the internet.
And here I'm already getting emails saying, but there's Flash on Android Central. Well, not by our doing. It's, you know, advertisers keep using Flash ads, and I wish they wouldn't. You know, so and that's the problem, right? We need to get everybody to stop. But
well, you know what? I'll go on record saying I prefer Flash ads and animation to HTML5 because I could use it as a placeholder and they didn't play automatically.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, HTML5 probably is better, but it's not there yet. I mean, I don't want to see a bunch of big blue Legos all over my website.
But was Flash ever going to get there? I think that's the reason Flash has been pulled, because it's constantly been almost good enough, and it's been they've had to optimize it for every single platform that Android's running on. It's just too much work for something that's never going to be as good as something which is a standard that runs on every browser and isn't hooked into the hardware.
But on the other side of that, Adobe made it so easy for just anybody to go torrent, you know, the tools to make Flash content, drag and drop, push a button, upload it, and done. HTML5 isn't that simple yet, and until it's that simple to create, it won't go across the web. It's going to stay, you know, more for the geeks and the tech guys and professionals to use.
We're still in a weird transition sort of phase, aren't
we?
And it's still being a bit slower than it should be, maybe. And I'm not sure if there's any one organization that can move things along. But certainly Android moving away from Flash is going to be a big part of that.
I think that
obvious reasons.
The smart thing to do is let's change the tools to create the content. Take away the ability to make easy Flash content and give people the ability to make easy HTML5 content, and the rest will work itself out. But as it is now, it's kind of just – it's going to be a big – I don't even know what word to use, because especially now it's in the daytime.
Boondoggle. Boondoggle.
There we go. It's going to be a big boondoggle. And you're just going to, you know, sometimes the web's going to look right. Sometimes it ain't. And it's going to take a year or so for it to all work out. And that's just not the right way to do things to me.
If you stuck with Flash the whole time, then things were never going to change. You need to draw a line under Flash at a certain point and say, right, older devices can still run it, but from here we're moving on to HTML5, and I think that's what they've done this week.
Yeah.
That means if I go buy a new phone, I can't watch this podcast on androidcentral.com.
You can if you read our post and download the version that is linked in there.
Well, I can't.
You should
to
do that.
Yeah, but you can't watch it on the web. That's the problem.
Right. I want to be able to open up the website on my tablet and watch the podcast. And whatever it takes to make that happen is what would be best. And unfortunately, it's impossible. So it ticks me off. Because I hate Flash. Like I said, the only thing I think it's better at is ads, because I can set them not to play automatically. But other than that, I mean, I would like to see it go away. It's more resource intensive, but I don't know what to do. Phil, fix it.
Don't enable.
Tell the guys that run the internet to fix the whole thing.
They don't take my calls anymore. Jerry, you want to talk about hacking your Nexus 7 the right way? That was an excellent post. So why do I want to hack it the right way instead of the wrong way?
Oh, because things go wrong. It's really easy to plug it in and download some little file and click a button and unlock and root your tablet, and that's great. But what if you can't boot? What if you are stuck and it's in a boot loop and you can't get back to, you know, the recovery partition? It's always nice to know how to manually do things, and it's especially great when somebody takes the time to explain all the manual process and give you the links and everything like that. That's why when we saw that in the forums, I thought that was an excellent, you know, that's something that needed to be shared around.
I even think doing it manually is less scary than just pressing a button and doing a one-click root, because you actually, you know for yourself what you're doing. You're not just pressing a button and having some random opaque process happening to your phone.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I like knowing, I mean, and I don't always remember, you know, what changing to, what's it, you have to, I'm going to say it wrong and all the Linux nerds are going to laugh at me, but chmod or whatever that is, you know, when you start changing read-write attributes and, what's it, 755 you get changed to a lot?
File permissions, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So, you know, like, those are good things to understand, and I actually have to do a little bit of that in my daily work now. So, I mean, that sort of thing translates a little bit, and suddenly I say, oh, hey, all right, so that's what I'm doing on the phone. I'm changing the read-write permission on this file so that it can go somewhere else or on a folder or whatever, right? So I get it. It makes a little more sense. I usually forget it the next day and have to ask Jerry again. But
that's why I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel a little more proud of myself. I guess we talked a little bit about the Galaxy S3 bootloader, and that's, you know, sort of the same sort of thing, right? I mean, well, not really, I guess. That's different.
It's not hacking. It's just someone leaking stuff. Break stuff up.
Well, the guy who figured out how to use the leaked one and flash it to the secure one, he deserves our credit for his little method. That was that was great. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't that we pulled the bootloader off and discombobulated it or anything.
Like you were saying, it would have been impossible without this other leaked. Wrong thing.
Right, we'd still be trying to crack it in the Aeris if it wasn't for leaks.
That's true. Oh God, I forgot about that. That poor thing. Anything else we want to discuss before we get to emails and voicemails? We're running a little ahead. That never happens. I can't think.
Because we're short on people tonight, aren't we?
Well, yeah, that's part of it. We can talk about Spectrum and stuff for a while.
Bickering.
Chat room wants to talk about the not safe for work section. No, just go click on the stories. That's what they're there for. I'm not going to talk about it. Can't talk about it. We can write about it. I'm not going to talk about it.
It's like the Fight Club.
Yeah. First rule about not safe for work is you don't talk about not safe for work. Just go click on it. All right, well, let's get into the emails and voicemails. So we got four voicemails. I can only understand the names on two of them, so we'll do those first. And for the other two guys, I apologize, but it doesn't always come out. So we'll read off how to contact us here at the end of the show. But remember, you can always just record it, you know, on your computer and send it in, which usually almost always sounds better. So keep that in mind. So with that, why don't we start off with Jean-Paul is back yet again.
This is John Paul calling for the Android Central podcast. I have a question about battery maintenance. I've actually tried to look this up, and it seems like everything I find online or in the forums is based on hearsay and speculation. Is there a best way to, like, maintain your battery in terms of charging it and discharging it. I've read some places that say you should fully discharge it and fully charge it. You know, you shouldn't just leave it plugged in to while you use it, like trickle charging. You know, but I've also read that fully discharging it causes extra stress and actually decreases the battery life. I guess I'm just trying to find a reliable source of information on that. Anyway, I appreciate the answer. Love the show. Love the site. All right. Thanks. Bye.
For me, I would say go find something better to worry about.
Yeah, unless you're using battery, or unless you're using rechargeable battery from like 1993, then you don't need to worry about that sort of thing.
Yeah, Ben, somebody in the chat room just asked what we do for a living. I'm an electrical engineer, or was. So I get this question a lot, and I don't design, never designed a battery or anything like that, but officially it's a newer, you know, late model lithium ion battery. Its life is measured in charge cycles. For grins, we're going to say that its life is 100 charge cycles. If you charge it a third of the way, that's one third of a charge cycle. When it gets all the charge cycles used, it starts to hold less and less charge. Doesn't matter how you get there, or you know what you do to get there, or discharge it the whole way. Leaving it plugged in, if it keeps it hot, can be bad. But other than that, I mean, this is all just people have noticed things that seem to work better for them, so it gets spread across the internet. Nothing is official from the people that make these batteries.
Actually, no, Jerry, I thought of something while I was traveling, and I was going to ask you. So we talked before about using these, what, 1-amp, 2-amp chargers, whatever they are, to charge everything faster. Is there a downside to that? Because it will, you know, I will find that devices will
increase
heat up,
the heat.
Yeah.
And, you know, you increase the heat, you lose a little bit of the life. But, I mean, I do it. I don't care if I lose 10 charge cycles on a device that it has a life of 15,000 charge cycles. I don't care about losing a percent of it.
Fair.
I'll take that increase in, you know, how much faster it charges them.
Okay.
Yep.
And as long as your phone doesn't melt, I guess that would be
right. Right. So, I mean, yeah, there's just no real way to do it. Just do it.
Fair enough. Okay. Let's go on to Jeff.
Hi, this is Messages for the Android Central Podcast. My name is Jeff Akuma in the forum. I just listened to the message when you were about to leave a podcast message, and I wanted to let you guys know that the reason that guy yesterday left his email addresses, that it's actually requested when you call that you leave your name, your email address, and which podcast you're calling for. So I'm not sure if that needs to get cleared up, because you're going to be getting a lot of email addresses. Anyway, this message is for Jerry. You were talking about Titanium Backup as far as not backing up your apps against different ROMs, because when the system files have changed, it can be wreak havoc, I guess, on your new ROM. And I wanted to point something out. To Jeff Mouse in the Galaxy Nexus forums, if you go to the Verizon Galaxy Nexus root ROM and hacks forum, he actually posted a how-to with Titanium Backup and stated that what you want to do is back up your user apps and your newer user app version, but at no point back up your system data. And he made it seem like that's not going to have you run into any problems as far as, you know, your new ROM. So if you guys could just touch on that, let me know if as long as you leave system data out of your backups and your restores, should you be fine switching back and forth between ROMs? Some of the guys in those forums, you know, they flash all day long, and I haven't heard any issues with them. So thank you very much. Love the podcast, guys. Take it easy.
Yes, Jerry.
The data files for an application, I guess it should be okay. You know, I wouldn't try to restore data files for version 1 to version 2 of the app. But it gets tricky when you're, you know, copying, deleting, and restoring databases and stuff like that. And if you use Titanium Backup and you notice that you have a little bit of oddness going on in your ROM, that'll be the first thing you'll want to look at. Mm. Yeah, never do system data between ROMs, never. So, but yeah, that sounds like a really interesting thread. I'm going to have to go in there and take a look at it.
Cool. All right, now for the first of the two, whose names I don't understand, and I'm sorry.
Hey guys, I'm calling for the Android Central Podcast. This is Cyan, San Francisco Bay Area. I heard you talking about cameras having Android and how cool it would be. One feature I didn't hear you mention, though, was using NFC. As cool as it would be, just sync straight to Dropbox. I think it would be even more cool and more fun to use NFC so you tap your camera to someone's phone and you can share it. Maybe think like a new Polaroid. It's all digital. So you're in a show or somewhere and you're snapping pictures and then you can just quickly share it, trade photos with each other straight from the camera and using NFC. I think that would be awesome. I just wanted to mention that. Take care, peace.
Well, somebody is already doing that.
If your camera's running Jelly Bean, that's exactly what you'll be able to do if it has NFC.
Nope.
Well, but Samsung's gone even farther with all the stuff in the S3. Group share?
Sure.
Yeah, group share will share them automatically, not even NFC. Just you take the picture, and if it's set up to go out to that group or whatever, like right then it just goes. Or Wi-Fi, I mean, however it's set up. But, you know, you don't have to go touch somebody else's phone.
Yeah, so is that S3 specific? Do we know if that's going to work on the Note 10.1? Because that's got the same version of TouchWiz, isn't it?
Oh, I don't remember. I have to go look.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know about NFC to transfer a 16-megapixel camera, full-res photo. It's going to be awful slow. I think we're better off sticking with Wi-Fi. Maybe NFC to initiate the transfer and the connection.
Yeah, I think that's what he's talking about.
Well, and that goes to what Samsung's doing, you know, exactly that, right? They're using NFC to initiate a Wi-Fi direct download.
And Android Beam's the same. It's NFC, and then it's Bluetooth for the heavy lifting.
Right. So, all right, you want to do the very last voicemail?
Hey, guys. My name is Damiana Fulton, and I'm calling for the Android Central podcast. I just wanted to ask you guys' opinion on something. Shortly here, my wife and I are going to be upgrading our phones. We are with Sprint. I know some people don't like them, but they've treated us pretty fine. So we are with Sprint. My main concern is cameras. I don't want to lug around a separate point-and-shoot camera and a separate phone camera. For all intents and purposes, I want the camera on my phone to be the primary camera I use for taking pictures of my daughters. So we need to have decent zoom. And, you know, at the very least, take decent point-and-shoot shots, nice, clear, crisp point-and-shoot shots. So my options, I'm thinking, are between the Galaxy S3 and the HTC Evo 4G LTE, or the HTC One, like it's pretty much the Sprint version of the HTC One X, which I've heard has an amazing camera. So I just wanted to ask you guys, you know, as far as point-and-shoot ability goes, for a camera I'll be using 80 to 90% of the time, which one of those is the better bet to go with? So thank you very much, and I look forward to your answer. Have a great day.
Either one.
Yeah.
Either
one. I mean, I found the camera in the 1X a little better for the way I take pictures, but that could easily change for the other guy. I mean, they both have really good cameras in them.
Yep. Alex?
Yeah, what Jerry said, basically. I think with the cameras that are in the HTC One series, you can't really go wrong. It's with the speed of capture and the quality of the sensor they've got in there and the chip, it's hard to take a bad picture on that phone.
Yep.
Either way. That's a good way to put it. I mean, it's hard to take a bad picture, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it.
Yep. All right, let's do a couple emails, we'll get out of here. G writes, I'm writing to help the Galaxy S3 owner who wanted to restrict the data usage of the Gallery app to Wi-Fi only. An ice cream sandwich under settings and data usage. If you select any app, you can restrict the data usage to Wi-Fi only. I'm not sure if it's available on Samsung's version of Android, but that would be silly to remove this feature. Well, you know, far be it from carriers and manufacturers to do silly like that. Alex was looking at it, but he's got that leaked Jelly Bean bill on there right now. So.
Yeah, I've checked that in my leaked Jelly Bean build. It is not there. Whereas in stock ICS and stock Jelly Bean, it is there. I'm sure I remember that some people looked at this when the S3 first came out and noticed it wasn't there in the plain old Samsung ICS build either. I don't know why that is. It seems completely nonsensical. I don't know why they do that. But it seems like you can't restrict data usage.
Right. Okay.
Don't know why.
Last line of that email would be silly to remove this feature. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, and it's not even a carrier thing because it's on the Unlocked International one as well. So
yep.
It's got to be some sort of weird technical reason, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, which one do you want to take the last one?
Go ahead, Samwise.
Sam writes, I carry a retired HTC MyTouch 40 slide to use as a media player. I also carry a Samsung Captivate for regular phone use. Okay, construction, so I always have my HTC running with a set of wired headphones and rarely have a free hand available. What I want to know is there a way to pair the phones via Bluetooth or Wi-Fi so I can answer calls on my HTC? Good question. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's... so you've got two phones. One is connected to the other. And then you... I... No.
Put the SIM in the MyTouch would be the way of doing it.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? As soon as we say, no, I don't think you can do it, somebody's going to figure out some sort of janky way to make it happen.
Yeah, I'm sure you could do it with a custom ROM because you can root call through Bluetooth, can't you, I think?
Yep.
Just most phone firmware doesn't support it. But if you have a custom ROM, I'm sure there's something you could do, some kind of rooted app that you'd be able to get that would do that.
Right. Interesting.
I'm just trying to think if there's any way you could install Google Voice on the MyTouch and put a SIP number in it and connect it to Wi-Fi. But then again, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's some janky, weird way to do it, but...
Like no elegant way of doing it probably is the answer.
Cool. Oh, hey, and to go back and answer the question about email and so when you call to leave a voicemail. I actually refuse to take Dieter off of that. I'm just leaving him there until he calls and yells at me. But no, most of the time I actually edit out people's voice email addresses, and I just forgot last week. I missed one, so that's why we all started yelling. And I couldn't very well edit that out because you lost the context for us laughing afterwards. So that's where that came from. So if you want, you can leave us a voicemail. 888-468-6158. That is 888-468-6158, extension 222. That'll leave us a voicemail. You can email them to us. That's awesome as well. And also email your questions to podcast@androidcentral.com. We love getting those, especially the voicemails. You can get us all on Twitter @AndroidCentral. I'm @PhilNickinson. Jerry is @GBHIL. Alex is @AlexDoby, though pretty much we're all on Google Plus most of the time these days. I'm still on Twitter a lot because I have to. But
all the cool kids are on Google Plus.
I know. Just search for our names. None of us has the cool vanity names yet, do we?
But you're actually verified. Well, so how come you don't have
that? I know. It's select verified people, and I have no idea how I got verified. It just happened a long time ago.
They gave my vanity name to Inman.
As we are every week, we are brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. You can also get them at that same phone number, 888-468-6158, or just go to ShopAndroid.com. I tell you, I'm playing with something interesting right now. So this has been in the store for a long time. It's the BlackBerry Music Gateway thing. It's just Bluetooth, one output for speakers and then micro USB in. And it works decently. It doesn't work horribly. It doesn't do a lot. It just plays music. But it's $50 instead. It's about $50. Forget exactly what it is. Instead of $300 for the Nexus Q that I also love, which is so much cheaper. So look for something on that soonish. I'm working on it. Anything else, Jerry? Alex, get out of here.
Hey, we're done.
I think we're done.
I think so.
Chat room, thank you guys. See y'all next week. Bye.
See ya.
Later on, folks. What?
I don't know. Sound like somebody stepped on a cat. Which, I mean, you're allowed to do, I guess. It's your cat. As long as it's consensual. But It sounded like somebody stepped on a cat.
Cats cannot conceive, sir.
Yeah, right. Don't believe that for a second.